Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here. The Truth Straight Up, brought to you by
HappyTrees.co and Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Hey, we're going to jump right into it. We've got with us one of our favorite guests, Dr. Brian Junda. Had another great column in American Thinker, basically saying, if Trump is so irrelevant, why do they all keep hammering on him? And meanwhile, you also want to talk to him, get his thoughts on Mike Pence, Nikki Haley,
Liz Cheney,
everybody's another. But first, Brian, hey, thank you for
your time. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Hey, my pleasure.
Why don't you go ahead?
Happy to be here.
Talk a little bit about your column. I mean, the points you were making. What kind of brought it to your attention?
Well, what brought it to my attention was the recent primaries of a week or so ago that most, if not all, of Trump's endorsements won. He had a clean sweep in Arizona, Washington. They still can't figure out how to count votes. Too close to call, which, you know, separate issue. France can have an election and the polls close at 8 o'clock, and at 10 o'clock, they have a winner.
And it's France all
is a little bit
it's
bigger than Washington State.
Yeah. So
it's all paper ballots in France.
Yeah, well, that's they know how to conduct an election. It's like every country does that. They have an election, the polls close, they have a winner.
Yeah.
In the UK, the next morning, the new prime minister is moving into Downing Street. You know, here it's a 10-month transition and counting votes for 3 months and
recounting them.
Well, it takes a while to figure out how many new ones you need. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so
That's true. If your projections are off and you have to manufacture a certain number of votes,
takes a while.
It does take time, and you know how to make it look not so obvious, and especially with people watching this time that may not have been geo tracking and other things that.
Right.
They have to contend with. So I think it's
driving for the mules, you know.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for them. There's a lot more pressure on them now than past
election
cycles.
And with gas prices going up,
hopefully the post office can step up their fraudulent activities.
The post office is on the ball. Just walk into one and see how on the ball they are about anything.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, they do seem to scream constantly about Trump. And as you noted in your column, the January 6th, I know I think they have an ultimate strategy there. But I think the committee hearings so far don't seem to have done very much at all to hurt Trump's approval ratings.
At least among, the non-diehard Democrats. I mean, it is fun to talk to Democrats, or Peter Boyles for that matter, and talk about how they think, oh, that's so devastating. I saw the hearings. Oh, that's incredible. It's just...
Peter's into it. No, I to be honest, I've not watched any of it. My level of interest reflects that of, Gallup and Rasmussen that survey, ask voters, what are the most important issues? And, inflation, the economy, and then, number 37 is the January 6th hearing. So people are not interested.
No,
than the D.C. press corps.
Right. Well, and I think a couple of things are going on there. And tell me what you think. One of them is they do all live in an echo chamber, the D.C. press corps and all that. So to them, it's extremely important. And they forget that no one else thinks like them. So you do.
Well, we've also gone through it for 4.5 years through Russia hoax things and impeachment proceedings. I mean, we've watched these joke
hearings
for 4.5 years almost.
Well, it's the boy who cried wolf. He cried wolf too many times, and then the villagers said, the kid's crying wolf again, and there was a real wolf and nobody listened to him. That's what they're doing, and it's unfortunate. We see that in so many things. They're all the screeches about COVID and this and that, and sometime there'll be a far more serious pandemic, and everybody's going to tune out the CDC and NIH and Dr. Fauci and all the, you know, smart set that gave us misinformation for 2 years. So they're doing a disservice to themselves and to the message they need to be able to convey when it's important, not when it's politically expedient.
I think one thing they want to try to do is, like I said, I think they falsely assume that it matters to other people as much as it matters to them. But I also think there maybe are, you know, they want to be able to file lawsuits to keep people from running. They want to maybe keep threatening. I mean, every other day, Politico or The Hill or one of those has, oh, criminal charges coming down any day now against Trump. I mean, I think they keep kind of hoping that magically somewhere. I mean, did you see the Maggie Haberman, the New York Times thing in Axios? There's pictures of like little handwritten notes in a toilet. and these are apparently top secret classified documents that Trump tried to destroy by flushing them down a toilet in the White House. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah. And, you know, and then the president's son has got a laptop full of pictures of him having sex with who knows who and
right,
snorting who knows what. And you know, the media's, no, this is Russian disinformation. So
right, yeah, exactly. You know,
credibility's exactly gone out the window.
I do think they hope they can use it, and I don't think they will be able to. But what about, wanted to talk to you a little bit, because as you're absolutely right, I mean, Trump is more relevant today than he's been since January 6th, right? It just doesn't stop, and nor does it.
Especially by contrast, because if you compare the state of the country now to a couple years ago, or say pre-COVID, COVID was a mess, and that's, you know, whoever was in office was going to be dealing with that, but maybe not, but pre-COVID, you know, the economy was strong, had good GDP numbers, inflation was, you know, 1% or something. We had good trade deals, no foreign entanglements. Things were good.
Right.
And, you know, those were the good old days. And people have long enough memories that they realize it. And now they go and gas is in the fours and, you know, Biden's crowing that it came down a few pennies, but so what? It's still twice as high as when he took office, and that's not mentioned.
Right.
We got inflation. Everything costs more. People's lives are more disrupted because they can't do things. They can't travel, take road trips, you know, go to the movies, do other things requiring discretionary income, because when it costs twice as much to fill up your car and 30% more to buy your weekly groceries, there's not a lot of money left over, particularly if you're living paycheck to paycheck. And that's,
well, they don't seem to be feeling our pain. You know, Buttigieg's easy solution is just buy a $60,000 electric car,
yeah,
and that'll somehow exempt you. Of course, how the electricity is generated to put in the car, into the car.
No, that's a, don't talk about that. That's an inconvenient truth. You know, they, no, they, it's just, yeah, buy the $70,000 or $80,000 Tesla, and you know, the electricity just comes from unicorns and windmills out in your yard. No, there's a cost to it. And when you have brownouts and there's not electricity to run your air conditioner, guess what? There's not going to be electricity to charge your electric vehicle.
Yeah.
And they don't talk
and
about
it's also,
that.
It's also hard when the most green of Western economy greens, which is Germany, all of a sudden announces one day we're going to coal plants. All right.
You coal know? Is now, coal is the new solar. It's like, you just got to change it. But they're not in a recession. I mean, I don't know where you get that silly old definition.
No, I was in Germany a few years ago, pre-COVID, and, you know, driving around, you'd see these nuclear plants and the fact that they're all closing down. And I thought even then, it's like, good luck. You know, they have windmills dotting the landscape, but driving down the Autobahn, guess what? The wind wasn't blowing and the windmills weren't spinning. And I thought, well, how are they making electricity? The nuclear plant runs 24/7 and the windmills run when the wind is blowing.
Well,
and the solar panels when the sun is shining. So, I mean, it's yeah, electric vehicles are fine and good and batteries and all that. And it's an evolving technology and probably not in our lifetimes, but down the road.
Sure.
That will be a viable technology, and there'll be some kind of, you know, matter antimatter battery that can fit in your pocket that could power your car for 1,000 years. But we don't have it yet.
No, it will be like Star Trek, where we'll just like beam ourselves to places and forget all of that.
Well, that's like looking at the Wright brothers' first flight and saying, "Well, yeah. this, you know, air travel is not really viable." Well, yeah, it's flying Emirates to Dubai is a little nicer than flying on the Wright brothers across the field. So that will take care of itself with time, but they're rushing it, and it's not there yet, and it's creating false hope and.
It's creating a mess.
Make a mess.
Right.
Well, let me ask you this. In the Republican Party, other than Trump / DeSantis, and there is, opposition in Arizona, Taylor Hobbs, picked up within 4 points of Carrie Lake and so forth. But what does the non-Trump DeSantis swing represent? I still haven't figured that out. And what's any attraction to it?
Similar to the Colorado GOP in past gubernatorial elections and Senate elections. I don't know what they represent. You know, they're running on issues that are irrelevant and ignoring all the relevant issues. Most of the GOP wannabes are get along to go along, or however go along to get along. They're Democrat light. They're signing on to the budget deals, raising taxes by $500 billion in a recession. Yeah, that's going to do very well.
That's right.
The green energy, the Green New Deal, being woke, because they don't want to be criticized by, Brian Stelter and Chuck Todd. Like that's in D.C. That's the, the scarlet letter of shame to have Stelter not like you. It's like, come on.
Well, we were talking, so you've got, this is what I think, you've got Liz Cheney, you've got Mike Pence roaming around, Nikki Haley is doing things too, and this
Christy Noem is sort of.
I kind of think this is our strategy. It's an old story where the king tells a man he has a year to teach the horse to talk, and if he teaches a horse to talk, he gets a princess in marriage. If he doesn't, he gets beheaded, and people are like, well, you don't seem to be that depressed, and he said, a lot can happen in a year. He said, the king may die, the horse may die, or the horse may learn to talk, and I kind of think that's what Mike Pence and Liz Cheney's thing is. A lot can happen in a year. Yeah. Trump may die. I may die. Who knows? Maybe Russia will interfere. I mean, which is stupid, I think, politically, but clearly they've got some people backing them. I would call them the swamp.
Well, Liz Cheney and Mike Pence, I put in very different categories. The Cheneys are, she's thrown all principle out the window, as has her father with his recent comments. He's calling Trump a coward, and he managed to defer himself from the Vietnam War multiple times. So, he's like John Kerry, big talk. But they've turned on Trump because Trump insulted them. He insulted Jeb Bush by calling him low energy and criticized the Iraq war, which Cheney was the head cheerleader for that, and WMDs and this and that. And, 20 years went by and we made a mess over there and didn't leave it better off, and, wasted a lot of time and treasure. Well, anyhow, that's the Cheney wing of the party. And she doesn't have anything new to add to the mix. So she's going to cut her bones by criticizing Trump and trying to endear herself to the Max Boots and George Wills and Bill Kristol's of the party, and think that might get her a place, but it's not. The voters are not going to go for that. Pence, I don't know. I go back and forth on Pence. Black hat, white hat. Is he
right?
I don't know. Trump has been measured in his words about Pence, and maybe there's other things going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of. And I think there's a lot of that. And so I'm not going to strike Pence out completely yet. We'll see what happens. I mean, the CPAC straw poll, Trump had 2/3 of the vote. DeSantis had 1/4 of it. And everybody else had, 1% each.
Right.
Well, so I'm happy to strike.
Nobody out there.
I'm happy to strike Pence out now, on pure boredom principles. I mean, Julie did an interview.
No, that's separate. He doesn't. I mean, he doesn't have the charisma to.
Charisma. Talk about matter and antimatter, charisma and anti-charisma. He's just a hack. always has been a hack. Was a hack when he's governor of Indiana, and he's just awful.
Well, Trump picked him and kept him, so.
Well, he picked him.
I don't know.
Why he picked him. There's a whole article on why Trump picked Pence, and it just basically said he's so absurd that he's got to be helpful, you know. And
which turned out
he didn't say, "Oh, this guy's a bright, capable." Now I'll put him in charge of the COVID thing, and that'll work out well.
Although, you know, I read today, we were talking earlier, Chuck and I, years ago, when Lauren Boebert was elected, we went to talk about how things change to a fundraiser for her, hosted by Arash Mosala, who now works for the Gutfeld Show. And Liz Cheney was one of the people, she was sort of a draw there, right?
Yeah, brought by Ken Buck,
who was also there. So today, Lauren Boebert was tweeting, Liz Cheney is worse than a rhino. She's, you know, a rhino is being too nice to her. It was scathingly. Clearly they're not going to be at each other's fundraisers anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, no, there really aren't other Republican candidates unless somebody we're not thinking about that's not on the radar screen emerges. But, you know, Trump emerged. So who knows? That's people weren't expecting Trump, 4 years before he became president. So you never know. But they're not, you know, Mike Pompeo's a good guy and smart, but he doesn't have charisma either. Not the Trump type. And that's, I think, very important. Biden didn't, but, you know, he was propped up, kept in the basement, and he was, you know, it was a caricature, and it was more referendum on Trump than anything else. But,
well,
but most people have, you know, George Bush in his better days, you know, it at least had some charisma, unlike Jeb, for example.
Oh, really?
Well, okay.
You got to listen to my words, Chuck. Trump is unscripted, unpredictable. He's funny. He's got good timing as a entertainer. He can do stand-up comedy. He's got that delivery down.
Well, you don't need. I mean, Ron DeSantis is his biggest drawback is he has no sense of humor. Really, he's not funny. But he's very bright, and he brings a personality sketch that is not quite as abrasive as Trump's. And he certainly seems to have the
saying and doing all the right things.
Yeah, and well, he doesn't just follow along. He comes up with his own, and he drives the liberals in Florida just crazy.
And he seems to enjoy doing it. Well, here's
He does, and his spokesperson. But it's still Trump's party, and I think DeSantis knows that and acknowledges it. And
I'm
sure he and Trump have talked, and there's plans and. You know, whether he would run with Trump in 2024 I don't know.
He's going to be happy in Florida.
Yeah, stay there, being governor and with Trump.
And he's going to pick Carrie Lake if she wins her gubernatorial one. Carrie Lake is everything Trump loves. One, she's good looking, and he likes good looking women.
Yes.
Inordinately so. And two, she's a fighter and really, in some ways, a perfect foil for him. Should she make it through the Arizona general election?
Yeah,
but I just don't see, you know, Colorado. Okay, we've got our senatorial candidate who believes in what? We don't know. I mean, Roe v. Wade. Sure, he likes Build Back Better. He doesn't want Trump to run, and so we should elect him because why? I mean,
well, there's so many issues in Colorado, and that was the annoying thing about Cory Gardner. He did some stupid commercials of taking a shower, which made no sense. And he could have talked about, you know, homelessness, Sanctuary City, fentanyl, illegals, Jack Phillips, and that story. There are a lot of things he could have weaved into his campaign that would have resonated.
Yes.
And there was low hanging fruit. And I don't know what he stood for.
Yeah.
Well, I know what he stood for. He stood for
get a job at the Chamber of Commerce.
No. I want to be a lobbyist.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, the Chamber of Commerce pays lobbyists.
All right.
But he alienated no one in the Senate. No one in the Senate. And he was in great terms with Mitch McConnell, well liked by the other Democrats. And you know, he flies over Yuma, Colorado, a couple times a year out to California and kind of waves and he's happy. But that was always his game because Wayne Eilert quit after two terms and bought a massive mansion in Maryland and just lives a high life. And Corey got to see that. So when he was running, he said, do I want to alienate anybody? No. Do I really want to be a senator for 600 years? No. I want to be in the mansion next to
it. Yeah, I mean, it's a stepping stone. It's taking the, you know, job at the big law firm so you can become partner and then be on cruise control the rest of your life making big bucks. And that's what these guys do. And it's unfortunate. You know, there are a few politicians that actually try to make a difference. And, you know, at least in the Senate, you're one of 100 instead of in the House, one of 435. And you can potentially accomplish something. You know, right. What's Hickenlooper doing? You don't even hear about him.
No. Well, I think he's taking credit for something. I was reading something happened.
Taking credit for the economy.
There's some, yeah, really. He's not taking credit. And then I will give this the Campfire or Colorado Peak Politics or the Campfire Colorado, one of those websites. They were kind of funny. They know that, well, they are, but they noted that Michael Bennett in his little fly fishing commercial, right, that he took out a one-day fly fishing license right before the commercial. So it's kind of like, at least his PR people are smart enough to say, okay, he's got a fly fishing license because clearly somebody checked. But it's like, if it was really a fly fish, you're a fisherman, right? If he was really a fly fisherman, he would have had a license already and he wouldn't have taken it.
Well, he puts those jeans on once a year for the advertisement.
Yeah, it's like John Kerry. You know, when Kerry was running for president, they got him in some fishing outfit and he shows up. Oh, it was maybe hunting. He goes in, it's like, where can I get me a hunting license?
Hunting license.
You know, he's the Boston Brahmin. They don't talk like that.
Well,
you know,
can you see,
you know, William F. Buckley in his day saying, oh, where can I get me a hunting license?
And a beer, you know. Well, who was it? Well, the one can't remember. They did. I forget what it was now, too. They were drinking beer. They were trying to be rednecky.
Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, yeah.
Elizabeth Warren. She opened the
beer. You know. Honey.
Yeah, her husband walked by and looked at her like, you don't drink beer, you're crazy.
You
just kept walking. And then in the background, it was funny, up on the top shelf was some type of, you know, Aunt Jemima type figure. You're not supposed to have that, you know. You gotta.
No. She wasn't woke then. Now she's
like me. You blur the Zoom background, so
nobody can see you. Behind me, we're just gonna make this here, you know. So
yeah, it's very generic. Otherwise, people are look at the book they're reading. You know, yeah. That statue.
Or somebody wanders in the back. So you and your column though were saying, hey, maybe you know this is when Trump. We were all disappointed a couple years ago because he was promising the great tsunami, and you know, here's what's coming. And maybe you're right, but the great red wave. I mean, they played up. First they said the great wave is coming. No, it's not. Then they're like, Republicans are going to blow it. No, they're not. The Democrats are like, no, the polls are showing people like Democrats more these days. What do you make of that landscape right now?
Oh, I think people are fed up with Democrats because we have Democrats in charge and nothing is going well.
Yeah,
absolutely nothing. You know, gas prices and inflation, recession, Ukraine, China, Taiwan, Iran. I mean, Biden's made a mess of foreign policy, of domestic policy. You know, reality, he doesn't know what he's doing, but his people, his handlers, and they've absolutely botched everything up. And there's no accountability. The trans movement is out of control and becoming, you know, that's going to implode on itself because it's just getting so ridiculous.
Right.
So, you know, what's going well? What are people enthusiastic about? You know, right. They're not.
Climate change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, everybody's excited about Greta and her, you know, latest screed.
The Denver Post was disappointed. They had it almost seemed when reading it, they were sad. It's like because previously they said because of climate change, this year's fire season is going to be even worse than last year's fire season. And then they had a thing saying, well, OK, there's been a lot of rain, so it wasn't as worse as it could be, but it's going to be worse.
Well,
any
that's
day,
flooding.
Any,
the water. The
Well, that's why they call it climate change, because, it's, you know, the weather changes. If it's too hot, it's too cold. It's too wet. It's too dry. It's all climate change. And that's, you know, it's like, you know, Putin. Putin's blamed for everything. He's blamed right. for inflation and gas prices, even though gas prices were high when Putin invaded Ukraine.
Yeah.
Well, they had the inside the notes of earlier draft, the IPCC climate change report, they said, well, now what are we going to do? Because the world has not gone up in temperature in 15 years. And so, oh, well, you know, that's just not that. That's just a minor, you know, in a billion years.
Yeah, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, as Wizard of Oz said. No, the temperatures have not gone up. If anything, they've dropped a little bit. Sea levels haven't risen. You see these pictures of some lighthouse from 100 years ago and today. And the sea level is exactly what it was.
Yes, exactly. You know,
maybe and the Obama home on Martha's Vineyard, which would be.
Yeah. If he's worried about rising sea levels, why did he buy a, $10 million mansion on the beach?
And what did I read? All of the private celebrity people are now trying to get rid of those companies that it's public information, how far private jets are flying and things like that. They're trying to pass some law. So they can't do that anymore.
Because they're carbon footprints. They fly to these climate conferences in their private jets. And, I'd respect them a whole lot more if they said, well, and to not create a big carbon footprint, we're going to have this by Zoom and we're all going to stay home and look what we're going to say. Well, fine, at least do it. Ed Begley was an actor and he was, big Mr. Environment, but rode a bicycle everywhere and built a environmentally conscious house, whatever. If you're going to talk the talk, at least walk the walk and not, have a private jet and run your air conditioner in your 16 bedroom house and
But
I was glad
tell us we can
to hear from Taylor Swift that she's decided to get rid of one of her jets. So, but she can't go with just one,
the other three she's keeping. So
Hey Brian, we gotta let you go. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Fun as always.
All right, we'll see you later.
See you guys.
Brian Doomed up there. I recommend a column. It was at least the last time I looked, it was a lead column in American Thinker today. Let me go. We're gonna move on too to talk about the new inflation. Peg Cage is over there talking about we're gonna all say Colorado GOP now too.
Mm-hmm. My Colorado.
June Depp is the best, Brian. Everybody loves you here. Hillary drank a beer one time, as did Obama. Mm-hmm. This is from Charlene. The green inflation bill is gonna confiscate middle class capital. We're gonna talk about that in a session. And he also says, great to have you, Brian, too. Leo says, yes, I've lost a fortune in my warehouse full of water wings waiting for the rising coastal level water levels. So I want to talk about the great new things that we have in the Inflation Reduction Bill, although they've already changed the name. Now they've gone back to the climate. Green New Deal. It's an Inflation Reduction Bill that even the Washington Post agrees isn't going to do anything about inflation.
It's going to make it worse. There's more government spending. It is going to take money out of people's hands. I mean, it's just a joke. The whole thing's a joke, and so is the whole Democratic Party. But they know that the left will just read the mainstream media and they will ignore that.
Right.
But,
and Ted Cruz is making that point. He said they got the corporate media out. They're going to carry their water.
Right.
And even the corporate media is like, okay, we cannot, because here's the thing, guys, that pretty soon we're going to say it's going to reduce inflation. And then in a couple of months, people are like, okay, inflation isn't reduced. Yeah. So we're just
it's a long term.
Just going to pivot from that. And we're going to pretend like, and this gets into the more insidious nature of it. They don't care. Remember that they don't care about us. They don't care the damage they do.
As Leo pointed out, 67 or 87 new IRS agents.
87,000. Whatever.
One for everybody.
So there's like 724 billionaires in the country. 87,000 IRS agents.
Well, they're not going after the billionaires.
No, they could devote that. Does anyone believe? And then what do the Democrats say? Well, if you don't shit on your taxes, what is that? Come on, give me a break. It's like they're going to go after the poor people who don't have the $1 billion accountant, not the billion, but you know what I mean.
And don't have the billion dollar accountants and everything else.
Right, and we aren't paying the lobbyists.
But they're for the people.
You think that Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, even Elon Musk, you think they're particularly worried about a bunch of new IRS agents? No. So you've got to ask yourself, why are they doing that? Why are they? So they've already weaponized the FBI. They've weaponized the Immigration Department. They've weaponized the State Department. They've weaponized the Department of Justice. They had previously weaponized the IRS, you know, with the Lois Lerner stuff. And now they're like, hey, we can do a lot more damage.
A lot more damage.
If we had more agents. I mean, make no mistake, that's their plan. And the other thing is the inflation goes up, the economy is going to crash more. It's not going to go back. Manufacturing down, wages are down, everything's going to get worse. So they need money for all of these Green New Deal projects that they're doing, right? They're going to, and they need to find it from where? Well, from us, don't you think?
I think so. Leo says, Peg reading the KBB in action article.
Oh.
She got a new call to action. I mean, I remember she said, somebody was on a call with her. She said, none of this election integrity stuff. We can't. That's turning our voters off. So we'll just talk about affordability. They love affordability. And so, oh yeah, we want to elect the Republicans because of affordability. No,
but I'm talking about the inflation bill. So I'm talking about the inflation bill. It's going to, as I understand it, spend the vast majority. It's what, $750 billion, something like that? Like almost $400 billion of it is going to go to Green New Deal projects, right?
Which means what?
Which means I'm thinking funding their friends who are now all investing in
Nancy Pelosi company, and they're going to give
windmills
to them. I mean, what projects? Who's the money going to? Oh, just, you know,
all of those people. Exactly. And then they're going to give money. You're going to get a tax break, I guess, if you buy an electric vehicle.
Oh, good.
So there you go.
There you go.
They're going to increase the tax significantly on fossil fuels and natural gas and things like that, which of course will be passed along to us. Then they call it's going to be good for the health because they're going to force the companies to negotiate with Medicare to get lower prescription prices, right? And if they don't, they're going to tax them. Well, okay, so let's just say you're a company. You're like, do I want to actually make less money, or do I want to go ahead and pay the tax and then pass that cost onto the people who are my customers? It's like, yes. So it's going to make it even higher. Just like, you know, Denver's plan to make affordable housing.
And I love when the princess of the people from Arizona held out in order to get carried interest taken out. Now, carried interest is an obscure term, but it means in all those hedge funds, they pay no taxes. And all the managers pay no taxes.
But I explained that because I was confused about that too. Because I could say
it's called carry interest, because if you own a hedge fund and you're a manager from a hedge fund, you're considered to have your basis to go up to the time you sell, which means you pay no taxes. That's why there's so many billionaire hedge fund people.
Not that they're hedge funding it, they're just a tax dodge.
Well, it's not a tax judge. You don't have to pay any. Yeah,
it's a loophole.
If you didn't have to pay any income tax.
And so this would have gotten rid of the loophole.
Yes.
And she said, no, we can't do that.
We can't do that.
Because that will help the middle class, all those middle class hedge fund people, all the middle class hedge fund people making under $400,000.
The Democratic Party and the media that covers them today is so shameless. It is just so shameless.
Yeah. So this is from Leo. Let's see, 87,000 IRS agents. That would make a great bumper sticker. They're going to break small businesses with IRS agents. That's right.
Yeah.
Is KBB from Charlene angling for a job with Brownstein? Yeah. One never knows. I think though with this, the bill, here's the scary part. And this is the kind of thing that you talk about. I think the Democrats, let me put it this way, there is a wing of the Democrat Party, the globalists, the, you know, New World Order people, all of those people who don't actually care. They tell these politicians, we'll continue to fund you. You get this passed. We understand that voters are going to be mad. We understand that it's going to hurt the middle class and that could have repercussions politically for you. But we don't care because we need this through, and they got it through, right? I mean, even if Trump becomes president and even if Republicans take the House and the Senate, does anyone really think they're going to go around or they're going to say, you know, we need to get rid of those 87,000 extra IRS agents?
No.
Right? They're not going to turn around and say, okay, we're going to get rid of all this money that's going out of these private corporations. We're going to cut that off. No. I mean, they've got this money in place. They've got the programs to keep the money flowing.
Right.
And I mean, they're not, I mean, you've talked about that a little bit. You've talked about that before where they get it there. Even if you're a Republican with the best intentions, government is its own organism to a certain extent.
You can't get rid of it. I mean, Department of Education for 40 years, people talk about, why do we have a Department of Education? nation. Let's get rid of it. It just grows and grows and grows and grows. And if you study Chinese history, what happens is you have a new dynasty, which wipes out the prior dynasty. And all of a sudden, the government's much more efficient for a while, but slowly it grows. And eventually, it chokes it to death, and you have another revolution, and the same cycle starts again and again.
So, I mean, yeah, they're not going to all of a sudden, I mean, maybe Trump could do this, cut the tax, what's it, 16 cents a gallon or something like that, that they're not going to suddenly cut the tax increase they're going to put on fossil fuels and natural gas. Because these guys, remember, the bad guy, the evil guys, they want to get rid of the fossil fuel industry so they can replace it with their industry. They don't want us driving places. They want us all living in a, you know, someplace. They are fine with higher food prices because then the government can take it over and the government can tell you to eat bugs, like almost literally. And you have no choice. There are no options. Same thing here. It's like, we don't care if you people can't afford to go to work. You shouldn't be driving to work anyway.
You shouldn't work anyway. What is
Yeah,
doing.
You should just
you ought to be more like government people. They don't work.
Right.
And they do fine.
Right. And so I think, I mean, so they don't care. And I think that's the dangerous thing of having had this go through, because I'm sure it's going to be implemented fiddle with it. But
no, it'll go through.
And right. It will never go away.
It'll be a blood spot on humanity for another 100 years. Right. I mean, and they'll at least to their next awful one, but all they have are awful policies, and all we have is Trump, DeSantis, and then all the bloodsuckers that we have that endlessly tell us, you know, you must elect Joe O'Day, and because he's for abortion rights, so he'll do just great.
Well, I think though that's changing. I think you look at some of the Trump candidates who are winning, right? And I think you've got people, you know, you've got your Jim Jordans, you've got your Matt Gaetzes, you've got your Lauren Boberts, you've got your Marjorie Taylor Greens, you've got people like that, and that group is growing. And that's a group, I think, that the more of them there are, the left keeps jumping up and down about them and hooting and hollering and saying, you know, and saying all kinds of horrible things because they're extremists. They're too extreme for Colorado, right?
Yeah, but then they change. You know, what's his name that's with
they don't all
Liz
change.
Liz Cheney, Kleindienst, whatever his name is. But he used to be
Clint,
a T.
Clink.
Whatever his name is. Okay. But he was originally a Tea Party revolutionary in 2010. And then now today, he's just the usual. let's go to talk to Sherry on line two.
Hey, Sherry. Thank you for
calling. Hi. I wanted to talk to you guys. You're talking about the IRS adding these new workers and money, and
right.
They already have bullets and guns and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So my question, I have a question. So if you help to fund a criminal organization, that's considered a criminal act. So I can think of tons of examples with our government.
Yeah,
so I guess we're now criminals because we're funding this government.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
That's right. We're all criminals.
Maybe we should all just turn ourselves
doing
in.
Tons of criminal stuff.
That's absolutely true, Sherry.
Like from the $2.1 billion that the Army spends to produce deadly viruses and bacteria and toxins. You know, the Planned Parenthood, we pay $500 million and then they sell baby parts.
Right.
And other than that, tens of millions of dollars that our taxpayer dollars fund to grant researchers. So remember when Karen Cataline hosted your show and she brought up that they research projects like transplanting scalps of aborted babies onto mice and rats?
Oh, that's right.
So we just do, I mean, we're paying all kinds of stuff, the CARES Act, so that now it incentivizes people. The hospitals to kill the people.
Yeah.
To make more money from if you die from COVID than if they save you.
Yeah.
And the taxes. You know, little 6-year-olds now can have heart attacks when they play soccer.
Oh. Right.
So what are we guilty of because we're paying for this crap?
That's a good point. Well, you know, you gotta, that's why they need more IRS agents, Sherry, because they sooner or later, there are a lot of people I think are going to be starting to think, wait a minute. You know, I can't even afford to buy gasoline for my car and you're raising my taxes. And so, you know, they need all those IRS agents to go out there. That's why they need weapons, right? They need all those IRS agents to go out there and find us and say, hey, you know, and maybe at some level they're worried about it because common sense tells you, if you're a politician, I don't think anybody likes the IRS. Nobody says,
but they don't think people will care.
I don't think they care that people will care.
Okay. Yeah. Well, because you know they're going to get their votes a different way.
It's just that
they make us part of horrible, terrible things by paying for this.
It's a good point, Sherry.
Anyway, thank you.
Thank you for cheering me up, Sherry. No, thank you.
Goodbye.
That's a great comment. Well, you know, you got to wonder why. I guess because they need more money to fund it, and they know the billionaires aren't going to pay for it.
They don't just print money anyway. I mean, it's closing in $100 billion for sending over to Ukraine, not just weapons, but to pay their pensions and salaries and just, you know, and Germany's contributing, you know, like 1 billion, right? And we're contributing, closing in on 100 billion.
I think we're sending more.
It's always more.
And I mean, you would think they could give $1 billion to just about everybody in Ukraine right now and let them just
blow themselves up.
Do something with it. Yeah, I don't know what, though that's a scam and everybody, the military industrial complex. But I think, though, the IRS thing, I don't know. I'd just be curious to see what's going on with it. And sooner or later, I think some of the investigative guys, like the Conservative Treehouse, places like that, will figure it out because they've weaponized every other agency shamelessly. Oh, Christopher Wray, when he had to leave, this Miranda Devine at New York Post found this out. So Christopher Wray, when he was testifying the other day and they were asking him about, you know, all the bad things going on at the FBI, and he said he had to go, right? He had to leave early. Well, they did a track on his FBI plane, and it turns out he flew to his summer vacation place.
Perfect.
So,
perfect.
Gotta go. Big, busy FBI stuff. Busy.
So, here's Peg Cage. You all love this. Look who KBB is telling people to call to help their rhino candidates in El Paso, by the way. Peak Republicans are not on the list of clubs with approval to use the name Republican. Hey, good point. August 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Help. Maybe you can read the rest of that, Julie.
Chuck, okay. Look who KBB is telling people.
I got that part. Just go.
Okay. The bag candidate literature and organize for the weekend walk location of Peak Republicans in Colorado Springs contact. Oh, is that Lois Landgraf?
Oh, perfect.
The Friends of the Future or something like that. That's kind of, at least they're using volunteers now. And you're right, Peg, why can they call them the Peak Republicans? Mm-hmm. I wonder if they have permission from KBB to do that. Sure. And what does one have to do to get permission? Well, so KBB. what Peg's point is for people who may not know some of these names is they're calling on and using, I guess I would say, the usual rhino suspects in the Colorado Republican Party to help generate people to go campaign for the usual rhino candidates, which makes sense in its own way. But back to my optimistic point, I think, though, that the fact that the Trump-endorsed candidates are winning and the mainstream media, which no one pays any attention to anymore, can scream all they want. They're too extreme for Colorado. They're too extreme for Arizona. They're too extreme. They're a Trump-supporting, election-denier extremist. And then people turn out and vote for them. And I think the more of them that get there, I think, and you're right, some of them will obviously betray us. But I think that the more of them there are, there's still going to be some standing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that hopefully, you know, they'll do what they say. And if they take over, then they'll go ahead and have hearings on the Hunter Biden issue. And not so much as the Hunter Biden issue. I mean, you know, you've got the New York Attorney General investigating Trump time he turns around, and then Hunter Biden, you know, videotape
and
himself
committing crimes. I love when they asked him, I think it was Chuck Grassley, they asked him, well, at least you admit the Hunter laptop isn't Russian disclosure. I can't comment on an ongoing investigation.
But I think the bigger implication there is the whole China thing. There's this unfolding story. Breitbart had it, the Conservative Treehouse had it, and it's just curious. So there has been for years now a race to develop a battery that essentially doesn't need to be recharged. And I don't understand all of the physics behind it, but some guy in the United States got a grant, ton of money, taxpayer money to do this. And then to make a long story short, somehow or another, it ends up in the hands, and I think the Department of Energy let it go there. So the Chinese now have it. So now that they found it, they figured out how to make it work. The Chinese have it,
right?
And the Chinese are manufacturing it, and the Chinese have the export licenses and things like that. And what they point out, though, is all of this, because it seems like a fairly bad business decision, all of this, though, was going on, and all of these connections were being made while Joe Biden was vice president with Hunter Biden roaming around, right? So again, I think there is so much corruption there. I mean, you know, you would think the Clintons were the most corrupt, but the Clintons, Bill and Hillary, they're probably fighting every night saying, how come we should have, what we're doing with Chelsea? We could have had her doing all this stuff. Why didn't we think of using her the way the Hunter, you know, the Bidens used Hunter?
Yeah, it's a good point. Well, there's a lot of good things about your government these days that you can enjoy. A lot of things about the Republican Party here in Colorado. Think of something cheerful, Julie.
I just did. I said the grassroots people are taking over. And I said this too, you know, even in Colorado politics, you look, the grassroots, there are more of us than there are of them. And the grassroots movement, and what I mean grassroots are, these are people who want politicians who actually care about issues that we care about, right? I mean, you wouldn't think that grassroots would simply not be swamp. But I mean, basically that's it. If you're not a swamp creature, then kind of by default, you have to be grassroots because there really isn't any place else for you. And so there
which identifies that almost all the Republicans in the House, with a few great exceptions, and almost all in the Senate, with no exceptions, are swamp people. And it's just amazing.
It is, but the voters, I think, are beginning to realize this. I mean, you can't. It's shoved down your face all the time, right? When you have Republicans voting to impeach the Republican president, right? I mean, even if you don't like Trump, you're like, that seems like a bad idea. To a certain extent, politics is something of a team sport. I mean, that's like tackling your own quarterback halfway through, even if you don't
Liz
like
would do
him.
That.
Yeah, well, that's exactly. But I think so there is hope. The grassroots movement is I'm just growing isn't the right word because I think it's always been there, but people are now waking up and paying attention.
Well, I don't think anybody, it's really been demonstrated in every state. There's an establishment group and then there's a Trump group. And those are the two groups and they battle it out. But before they could hide, they could, oh yeah, I'm really a conservative. You know, no, you're not. You're just a swampite.
All right. Oh, but Charlene, now Charlene is putting a damper on my optimism. She says, I'm 40,000 feet, creating chaos, confiscating middle-class capital, and lastly, confiscating guns in order to destroy nation states, in order to bring them onto the world economic forum, globalist rule. What leverage do we have? Well, you know, kind of, I'm not really advocating this, but kind of going back to what Sherry said, it's like, it's our money, right? It's our money.
No, it's government's money.
Well, but they get it from us to a certain extent. I mean, and I think all you could do, Charlene, is wake up, help other people to wake up, give them the information, and just hope that people then vote. But that's kind of Pollyanna-ish, isn't it?
Go on, Julie. You're fading. You're fading.
I'm trying to be optimistic here. I would say vote, but of course, then we've got all the voting issues that the swamp people don't want us to solve.
So drink more.
There we go. I will say this. In spite of inflation, I have noticed that the price of vodka and the price of the kinds of wine that I like to drink have not gone up.
All right.
So there is
the essentials are remaining the same.
No. Maybe you can't get baby formula, but
that's certain, okay. Give him a little of that Tito. So no. Get him used to it. Get him on it.
Oh, that's bad. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for us. I thank you to Dr. Brian Junedep.
He's always fun. He's just great.
The nice guys at BBS and everybody on Zoom. We love everybody having you guys on Zoom. I'm not sure what's going on yet Wednesday. We've got a couple of things in the...
We're going to have Bruce Baker.
From Westminster. Mm-hmm, yay. Mm-hmm. Well, here's where, all right, hope we can end on a hopeful note. Charlene, when people wake up and they pay attention, they can make a difference. The old Westminster City Council that raised our water rates to like literally about the highest in the nation was thrown out by people who said, what? And so the new city council reduced the water rates. So they did one thing they said they were going to do, and water rates are back to being reasonable again.
Which
so
is nice. But then again, they rolled over for the developer by...
Well, you can't have everything. You can't have everything. Right. So, all right, we're going to call it Wacky Wednesday.
All right.
We'll see you all on Wacky Wednesday.
Everybody take care.